We are talking about Gujarat politics today, and yet we are beginning with something that Gopal Krishna Gokhale had said about Bengal more than 100 years ago. Famously, it's one of those immortal lines. He had said that what Bengal thinks today, India thinks tomorrow. So today, what would Gokhale have said if he looked at the politics of India today? He would have said what Gujarat thinks today, what Gujaratis think today, India thinks today, and also tomorrow, at least in the foreseeable future. That's because it is the Gujarat politics, Gujarat bureaucracy, Gujarat politicians who dominate national politics now. It is thanks to the rise of Narendra Modi that Gujarat has acquired such a preeminence in national politics. Although with him, effectively his deputy in the party politically and not technically in the cabinet, but in terms of the power commanded, yes, that is Amit Shah, also from Gujarat. So Narendra Modi, Amit Shah, Gujarat, what that has done is, it has given Gujarat an oversized presence in national politics. Gujarat is not our largest state. It's not even among our larger states. Larger states are those that I classify as having more than 40 seats in Lok Sabha, generally, by way of their contribution, largest being Uttar Pradesh at 80. So Gujarat is among what we might call as mid-sized states. Mid-sized states are in the 25-seat ballpark. So there is 25, 26, 28 like that. So that is states like Gujarat, Andhra Pradesh, Rajasthan, Karnataka, they are in the 25-seat ballpark. So Gujarat sends only 26 MPs to the Lok Sabha. That doesn't make Gujarat so important. But in terms of political thought and in terms of political leadership, Gujarat has traditionally dominated the Indian thought. And in fact, it is an inadequately acknowledged fact. But the fact is that Mahatma Gandhi was from Gujarat, Sardar Patel was from Gujarat. Again, a state today of 6.5 crore people. Of course, there is a complicated history of when Gujarat came into being, because that's when the larger Bombay state split. But let's not go there. Now, today, we know that Gujarat politicians run the country. Gujarat politics runs the country. Gujarat bureaucracy also runs the country, because in so many key positions now, Narendra Modi and Amit Shah have reached backwards to the Gujarat cadre officers or people with whom they worked in Gujarat and politicians to bring them into key positions. That's why Gujarat's very important. Gujarat, as we know, has just had a new chief minister, Bhupendra Patel. Now, if I ask you a question, what is the closest, Narendra Modi has now been in power for more than 7 years, what is the closest the opposition got, in this case, the Congress-led opposition, essentially the Congress, what is the closest the opposition and notably the Congress got to upsetting, to basically stopping the Modi-Shah juggernaut? I'm not saying upsetting the apple cart and all that. Who could have stopped their Ashwamedh Yagya, Ashwamedh Rath, or Ashwamedh horse? It was only the Congress in 2017. In the winter of 2017, Congress set up a coalition with the Patel group, with some backward caste groups, with some Dalits. That is how Alpesh Thakur, Jignesh Mevani, Hardik Patel all came under one banner, and Congress gave the BJP a scare. It was a scare. Because it did look like at one point that, particularly given the Patel revolt, or revolt of the Patidars as they are called, that BJP might actually struggle to win in Gujarat. And you can imagine the consequences if in the winter of 2017, BJP had failed to win Gujarat, then the heady feeling of the big win in Uttar Pradesh earlier that year would have disappeared. Because then if Narendra Modi and Amit Shah can't hold even their own state, where nobody had given the Congress any chance. So first of all, not only do they lose their state, but also lose to Congress. It could have changed national politics completely. And nobody understood this better than Narendra Modi himself. And that's why you find that towards the last part of that campaign, he spent a lot more time in Gujarat than he had budgeted. He addressed a lot more rallies, and as he addressed more rallies, the sharpness of the rhetoric kept on rising, including insinuating that there was this dinner at Dr. Manmohan Singh's home, which had the Pakistan High Commissioner, some guests from Pakistan, and somehow that there was a conspiracy to make him Muslim the Chief Minister of Gujarat. Muslim, in that case, the only possibility would have been Ahmed Patel. So all that was done. Why? Because Narendra Modi and Amit Shah know that one state they cannot afford to lose is Gujarat, no matter what happens. So going up to 2024, this government or this political Ashwamedh Yagya, they have two challenges. One is the Uttar Pradesh election, again just 5 years from 2017, early in 2022. And second is the Gujarat election, again towards the end of 2022. And that is the reason they have made the change of chief minister. They had changed the chief minister before the earlier election. That might have been counterproductive, because that, instead of satisfying the angry Patels in some ways, actually made them angrier still, because they felt left out. Because remember, neither Narendra Modi nor Amit Shah is a Patel, and Patels are about 20% of Gujarat. So they are not as, it's not as if they are a very dominant community, but they are a very powerful community. Also, 120% caste vote bank is very sizable in a state which is actually quite diverse. A lot of the people outside of Gujarat don't appreciate how diverse Gujarat is. They also don't appreciate how strongly does local identity and the factor of caste plays in Gujarat politics. We'll talk about a little bit of that today. Now, BJP has changed their chief minister. They brought in a Patel. This Patel, Bhupendra Bhai Patel, is from a group of Patels called Kadwa Patels. Now, once again, in India, there are wheels within wheels, or there are castes within castes. So within the Patel group, there are two prominent subgroups. One is the Luwa Patels and one is the Kadwa Patels. So generally, the legend is that they trace their descendants from Lav and Kush, the sons of Lord Rama. Never mind that Lord Rama's sons had to be Suryavanshi Kshatriyas, but this is the legend. They believe that. Now, they also live geographically in different parts of Gujarat. So, Luwa Patels are more towards the north of Gujarat. Kadwa Patels come from central Gujarat and Saurashtra. So, that means Rajkot, etc., etc. Once again, of the 20% Patels in the state, about a little over two-thirds are Kadwa Patels and the rest are Luwa Patels. So, Bhupendra Yadav is a Kadwa Patel that is meant to placate about two-thirds of the Patels. Remaining one-third already, Mansukh Mandavia, who is now a very high-profile, very powerful health minister, seems like a favorite of the prime minister's, and has a very powerful and very important position, because he's the one who's now leading the COVID response. So he already has been accommodated here. So BJP thinks that with this, they'll be able to placate the Patels, because Patels are the one who've been angry. And while in the last election, once Modi came campaigning like that, a lot of them did vote for the BJP, yet to lose any of them is a bad idea for the BJP, terrible idea, because the risk they cannot take is losing Gujarat. Because if that happens, then Narendra Modi is seen as a loser in his home state. And remember, the Gujarat population is so diverse that even when Narendra Modi himself was chief minister and would appear for elections every 5 years, he would win a very easy victory, but yet Congress party would have quite a sizable number of votes which were not diminishing. So in that diverse population mix or voter mix of Gujarat, Congress party also has a strong committed vote, unlike say states like Uttar Pradesh and Bihar. That is what the BJP worries about. So they are now trying to ensure that as many Patels as possible can stay back with them. And second, even if they leave them, they should not go to the Congress. So they've seen a new trend. Normally, it would have suited the BJP to think that, oh, if Patels are not coming to us, they are not going to Congress. Congress is our challenger. They are wasting their vote going someplace else. But they've now seen in the recent municipal elections, in both in Surat and Rajkot, they have seen that Aam Aadmi Party has done very well. And Aam Aadmi Party, for example, in Surat got 28.5%, precisely 28.47, I'm rounding them off, 28.5% of the vote in Surat Municipal Corporation elections. That's a lot. Similarly, in Rajkot, 17.5% Aam Aadmi Party got. Now, the party may not get many seats, but the fact is, what trend is this highlighting? It is telling us that a lot of the Patels who are angry with the BJP but still do not want to vote for the Congress party, they are now going ahead and voting for another alternative, that is Aam Aadmi Party. Now, the BJP cannot afford to let any Hindu vote in Gujarat go to anybody else, because Congress is there. If Aam Aadmi Party also starts building up, they see it as a threat, because the BJP, this Modi Shah BJP, has the mind of a superpower. It fights its battle, its battles decades ahead. It anticipates its battles. It's also willing to fight its battles in distant places. And Gujarat is not even a distant place. It is home. Now, if you look at Gujarat, will this ploy work or not? We will know as we come closer to the next elections, because that will also depend on what kind of coalition, once again, coalition as in vote coalition or caste coalition, that the Congress is able to put together. Remember, in Gujarat, people don't realize it, but ever since the overall domination of the Congress party of national politics ended, Gujarat politics has also been governed greatly and strongly by caste and identity. Even late 70s onwards, up to the 80s, when the Congress party or its allies or some coalitions kept on getting power in Gujarat, it happened because they built a combination called KHAM, K-H-A-M, that is Kshatriya, Harijan. Nobody used to say Dalit then. Harijan was a term. Kshatriya, Harijan, Adivasi, Muslim. So that KHAM formula kept on winning the Congress party power repeatedly. Congress party or its allies or other sort of third front kind of forces. And I will tell you briefly how unstable Gujarat has been. But the BJP then broke that with the rise of Narendra Modi, because Narendra Modi's own appeal became so strong 2002 onwards that he was able to completely control it. In fact, you can divide Gujarat's political history into three phases. One is the first phase when Congress party was supreme. Of course, Gujarat came into being. Gujarat state government only came into being in early 60s. But the first phase was when Congress party won everything. And while we did have a short chief ministership in that period, but that is because Balwant Rai Mehta, who was then chief minister of Gujarat, on 19 September 1965, tragically and shockingly, a small civilian plane in which he was flying within Gujarat was shot down by a loitering Pakistani Sabre jet, because the war was going on at that time. That was one of the most tragic and shocking incidents of 1965 war. It was also the first and so far the only case of a public figure that to an elected executive, chief executive of a state, dying in a conflict. So that was a two-year chief ministership. Otherwise, it was quite stable. The second period is about a 30-year period between 1971 and 2001. And that can be called a period of instability. In that period of instability, chief ministers came in, went out. Came in, went out. In fact, if you look at the 50 years between 1971 and 2021, Gujarat has seen 19 chief ministers. 19 chief ministers. That is an average of just about 2.5 years. Particularly if you also dock the time taken by about 4 periods of president's rule. So Gujarat had a lot of instability in those 30 years between 71 and 2001. Then came the Modi era. That is the current era. Modi era began 20 years back. In fact, the well-known journalist who hails from Gujarat, Sheila Bhatt, she just noted in a column that she wrote for Gulf News, of which I'll share a link with you, that on 7th of October, Narendra Modi will complete his 20 years in power, of which 7 are as Prime Minister of India and the rest as Chief Minister of Gujarat. So since he's come in, there's been stability, although the fact is that the Chief Ministers have changed. Now, Anandiben Patel came in, went out, then Vijay Rupani came in, went out, and now Bhupendra Patel has come. So none of those two Chief Ministers completed a full term, although Vijay Rupani served for more than 5 years, but over two terms. And now let us see what Bhupendra Patel does, because he's also got just over a year now to rule before the next elections. But this instability doesn't matter, because for all practical purposes, Narendra Modi is still the Chief Minister of Gujarat. So nothing is changing in Gujarat. Otherwise, if you look at the 30-year period in the middle, then a lot of Chief Ministers came in and came out. Chimmanbhai Patel first came in as a congressman, then came in as a Janata man, then came back as a congressman. Similarly, say Madhav Singh Solanki, he was Chief Minister three times. Keshubhai Patel was of the BJP, was Chief Minister twice. Suresh Mehta came in. He was pulled down by somebody, by one of his fellow leaders from the BJP. That was Shankar Singh Wagela, who later became Chief Minister with the support of the Congress Party, then joined the Congress Party itself. Then in the middle came somebody called Dilip Parekh, most of you will not even remember who he was, but he was Chief Minister of Gujarat for a good 188 days. Keshubhai Patel, as I told you, was Chief Minister twice. Chimmanbhai Patel, Chief Minister twice. Madhav Singh Solanki, Chief Minister thrice. Suresh Mehta. So these people came and left. So the rise of Narendra Modi in Gujarat has given the state of Gujarat political stability. It doesn't matter if three chief ministers have changed lately, because this is basically vicariously the rule by Narendra Modi in the state. So that is not instability. That is his own pocket borough. He can do what he wants or what he wishes, but only as long as he keeps winning his elections. Remember, in 2017, Congress ran him close. Ultimately, finally, BJP had a gap. They got about 99 seats in a house of 182. But it wasn't what they had expected, not particularly with Narendra Modi as the all-powerful, popular Prime Minister of India. And that is not the risk they would want to take again come the winter of 2022. And that is how we should understand the change that's taken place in Gujarat